So there are 5 seats up for grabs in Boncrana South in Ashone, 11 candidates. And we are joined by 5 of them in studio today. And we're going to start giving each one of them an opportunity to, sort of, I suppose, a minute or so to pitch, really, I suppose, why people should vote for them. We'll start with you, Independent Frankie Lavelle. Good morning. Nice to meet you, Frankie.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning, listeners. It's a lovely day out there. My name is Frankie Lavelle. I'm aged 48, married to Marie with 3 daughters. I'm a truck driver with a background in archaeology, athletics and the great outdoors. I'm also an award-winning playwright. This is my first time to contest local elections. Why now? The unrelenting erosion by this government of Ireland's identity, faith, heritage and common sense has led me to take this decision. Opposition parties no longer oppose. Ireland's destruction is a joint effort with the national media on their side. The pushback must begin here at local level. To those people who say my great-grandfather and my grandfather, we always voted this way or that, just ask yourselves, would your great-grandfather be happy the way the country is going? That's basically my message. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much for that. Good morning, Councillor Rena Donaghy, I beg your pardon. Councillor Rena Donaghy of Fianna Fáil.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to my fellow panellists and good morning to all your listeners. Thanks for inviting me to take part in this debate today. My name is Councillor Rena Donaghy. I am a mother, married to Patrick with 4 children, and we have 4 grandchildren. I teach information technology on a part-time basis with Donegal ETB, and I worked in social welfare for almost 13 years before that. I played camogie for Donegal for a number of years. I was the first Fianna Fáil County Councillor elected in the Boncrana area in 50 years, and that was in 1999. Together with 2 others, I set up Cockhull Community Preschool, which is a not-for-profit organisation and provides affordable childcare. I was instrumental in establishing Cashel Macaw Learning Disability Centre. 15 years ago, I founded Boncrana Tidy Towns Committee, where we have many hard-working volunteers and we have won 4 gold medals to date. I was pivotal in setting up Inishowen's digital hub in the former Boncrana Town Council offices, a state-of-the-art innovation centre where an extension will begin soon. I worked hard to get an ambulance for Boncrana. Greg, I'm so disappointed that the prepared site was not secured for the 3 school campus. These are just some of the issues and projects that I have been involved in. Some of the main issues raised by constituents during my canvass, which I intend to pursue if I am re-elected on Friday, are MICA, Boncrana Leisure Centre, gaming machines, a respite centre for young adults with special needs, flooding issues in Inishowen since 2017, Swan Park Eye Care and a National Driving Licence Centre for Inishowen.
Okay.
I am asking you today for your number one vote on Friday next. You will find me halfway down your blue ballot paper. And I want to wish my fellow candidates all the best.
All right, thanks very much for that, Councillor Rena Donaghy. Councillor Nicholas Crossan.
Good morning
to you, Independent.
Good morning, and good morning, listeners. Thanks for the opportunity to come here today. My name is Nicholas Crossan. For the past 25 years, it's been an honour to serve as a local independent councillor. I know the issues we face as a community. Since I was elected, I've worked hard on your behalf to bring funding into this area. And with more help from central government, Inishowen can become a greater destination for tourism and enterprise alike. In recent years, I have formed a national group of independent councillors. And as chairman of that group, I have built up a network of contacts with the Shannon and Dáil Éireann. I will be using this access to the fullest in the coming years to ensure that we get a fair share of government funding for Inishowen. One point that I'd like to emphasise is I strongly believe that people should be allowed to build their homes in their own family land. This will do 2 things. This will help to free up houses in towns, and it will also ensure that we keep our families and communities in rural Ireland. I've been involved in the community for years, organising events like St Patrick's Day, the Christmas Lights and the Tip O'Neill Diaspora Award. I'm proud to serve my community. I thank you for the support over the years, and I'm asking you once again to vote for me, Nicholas Crossan, on Friday. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Councillor. Terry Crossan of Sinn Féin. A very good morning to you, Terry.
Thank you. Great.
Same opportunity.
Well, might you might have a leg, I guess might you might in a haste to hurry a leg to me into Sasta and Curishailo, Highland Radio, or Imagine Shaw, I guess, but while I'm Falchamora, her Riven, Irahariella, Atán seo agus na hiarrthairí a ligatá ag seasú in St. Jehanna Teacht. Thank you, Highland Radio, for the opportunity to speak here. I'd just like to welcome all my fellow candidates, and I wish them all very well, and all the other candidates very well in the election on Friday. My name is Terry Crossan, as you know. I've lived in Inishowen for almost 20 years. I feel I am a part of Inishowen now. I feel very much integrated into the community. I'm involved in the GA club. I regard myself very much as an Inishowen man, an Inishowen person. I'm married to Kathleen for 44 years. We have three sons, one beautiful granddaughter, Evelyn, another grandchild on the way. I'm a retired publican. I've been involved in public service for almost 20 years. I spent 12 years on the Lux Agency Board. Three of those I served as chair. I'm into my second term on the board of Intertrade Ireland. I'm currently chair of their audit committee, which is obviously a very responsible job when it comes to spending public cross-border money. I'm currently also on the board of Cooperation Ireland into my second term. And if elected, I will fight tooth and nail for the people of Inishowen, as I have in the past on many issues.
All right, thank you very much for that. And finally, but not least, Michelle McKenna of Fine Gael. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Greg, and thank you for inviting me on your show. Hello, everyone. My name is Michelle McKenna, and I am one of your South Inishowen Fine Gael candidates, running for the first time for the Donegal County Council. I have had the pleasure of meeting most of you at the doors, and I have thoroughly enjoyed engaging with you all, where I was made feel very welcome everywhere I went. I have took on board what you have said, and I have heard loud voices saying, we want to change, we need more women, we want a louder voice in there. We see or hear from no one. We want things done when asked or to be told what's happening, and not just be talked about and left sitting on someone's table. I am willing to be that change. I have the courage to put my name on that ballot paper, because I believe I can make that change you all want. I am passionate about my community. I have the drive, the energy and the enthusiasm to bring better communications from our people to the local council chambers, where I will work with all council members and officials to help and assist in bringing your issues to fruition. A number one vote for myself is a vote for that change. I always feel that any committee, council need to be revitalised and freshened up every few years. I can guarantee you, if I'm elected on Friday the 24th to Donegal County Council, it will see new energy and a new voice who will speak up for the people that I will represent in Inishowen. I've been working in the community now for 30 years and in the background of politics for 10, where I have had the greatest delight to be able to help and assist the public with their issues and concerns. And with working with our own Minister Joe McHugh and his team, and having built up a working relationship with other ministers, I feel with myself in the council chambers, I have a strong voice at national level. Vote number one for McKenna, because she's the one who'll get the job done. Thank you all so very much for your support. Go to my dog it.
Nicholas is smiling over there. Do you want another go after that? No?
You couldn't follow that.
Okay. Listen, thank all of you. A lot of the similar issues come up right across the county, but there seems to be more so specific issues in South Inishowen that are coming up time and time again. The three school campus, okay? Again, I would say, I'm not trying to pre-guess here, but I say Michelle's probably privy to the fact that there's a site, then we're looking at it and it's very positive and this, that and that. But in reality, okay, does anyone know when this three school campus is going to be provided? I'll start with you, Michelle. What can be done? It's unacceptable.
Well, at the minute, I think everyone's up in the air at the minute. There's word last week again, there's another site. I don't know where it is. Maybe the certain councillors might know something, but there's supposed to be another site.
The education minister must be able to give you some information.
Well, at the minute, there's what I'm hearing back from his department is that they're looking at another site again. Personally, I think it's a bad idea. I think that Crannagh College should get their own. They should get their own school built.
Decouple this three school notion. Then.
Yeah, and a lot of people, when I'm round the doors, that's what I'm getting. They said it was a bad idea.
Dead in the
water. Wasted 10 years. And I have to say what the people saying when I'm at the doors, and I do agree with them.
So if this comes up in council, you're saying I'm not interested in talking. I'll listen, but this three school campus, the people don't want that. we need to decouple this and see how we can progress.
And
that's what you will be representing in the council.
Because that's what the people are asking for. The people,
that's
the
great.
Parents
okay.
of the parents of the children that attend the school. I've been speaking to teachers that are teaching the school. This is what they're saying. Look, can we not just get our own school and let the other two get them sorted together then as well?
Again, school projects have been envisaged, gone to planning, constructed, opened, and people have graduated from them in the same amount of time as some of these things have been held up. Terry Cross, and again, I'm going anti-clockwise on this one, and I'll get round then, of course, to Frankie.
It appears, again, it's a local issue here in Buncrana, which I'm not fully au fait with. But
I'm going to get you one. Sorry about that.
you're really one, not Terry. Giving me much of a chance.
Well, you
here,
can
Greg.
Give me a hint at something during the break.
No, listen.
But listen, at the end of the day, you'll be supporting your party colleague, Jack Murray, if you're elected.
Yeah.
We're not talking Alaska here. This is a small area.
Yeah.
And people might be surprised that maybe you're not across these issues, Terry, to be fair. But what's your view on what you know and what you're hearing?
Well, what I do know and what I hear from people, and I haven't heard really very much about it on my canvas because obviously it's not
further,
my area. People,
further,
I haven't heard one single person talk about it. But from hearing what I'm hearing here, from speaking to Jack, etc., the Thief School campus doesn't seem to be a popular option.
Okay.
And I think it's going to eventually be a non-goer.
Yeah. We're moving towards that. And I know that was expressed at one of the a meeting at one of the schools that they're saying, it might have been the Irish school saying, right, enough is enough, we need to maybe crack on our own. Councillor Nicholas Cross, and is the three school campus dead in the water? Do we need to decouple this and really make efforts to move this on?
Well, if
we
go back just, and obviously it's another burning topic in my area, that site has been for sale for 9 or 10 years. When it was sold then about 3 or 4 months ago, do you think it was the greatest surprise ever? I think it was put up on a Friday afternoon and was sold on Monday morning. The former owner of that site went to, as it was at that time, the VEC, and to build a turnkey development school to their spec.
But that's not how we provide schools, Nicholas.
For example, it is the way that we did because we did it before.
Yeah, we don't.
But the VEC has since done that. In the various parts of the country. That was the way to go by it because the spec of the school...
But it has to go out to tender, you know that.
But
you can't approach the council and say, I'm going to build something for you. It has to go out to tender.
But the turnkey development, it's the same thing. If somebody has land, they can say, look, I'll do a turnkey. Give me what you want, spec you want, done on it. But what happened was the VEC took the ETB now took the eye of the ball and lost the site. That was the best site in Buncrana for
done.
A site.
That's done. And so dusted. What now going forward?
What's going to happen is there is a vocational school on Cranor Road. That there could be used for the Gaelscoil or the College of Killaloan.
Okay.
And a smaller site then could do for Cranna College. But maybe keeping them together, it may be that it's less expensive than it might be.
If I was to put a vote, if this was a vote in the council and I says, three school campers, yes or no, are you yes or no at this point?
I'd be for the Fruit of the Loom site, yes.
That's gone.
It isn't.
A lot of people don't want the school close to the on that site.
Well, like I have to say, the business people bought it and fair play to them.
I'm not questioning that, but there are concerns.
If I was to say with a school campus, first of all, it's very, very difficult to get land in Buncrana of the size that we need together.
Obviously. Councillor Rena Donaghy.
I would just like to say that neither the Donegal County Council or ETB are liable for blame on the three school campus.
Nicholas thinks it is. You took the eye off the ball.
No,
that's
absolutely
Did
incorrect.
Not say
the government,
I think the VEC took the eye off the ball.
The VEC
or the ETB
ETB were being. I'm on the ETB and I know exactly what happened. The government clearly dragged their heels on the campus in 2014 when all the assessments and all the reports were completed.
So who
that's
do you blame?
The time. I blame the government.
And who,
fairly
what,
and squarely.
What do you think we should be doing going forward?
I think the way it is going to go forward is going to be a two-in-one. One of the schools will move into Cranna College and they're looking at a site now for two schools.
Now, what do you think, Frankie Lavelle, independent?
I would read the whole place out, to be honest.
Not this room.
I've nothing against the local candidates. I'll tell you, on the subject of this school thing, it did come up on one or two doorsteps. I went and I asked the principal of one of the schools, I'm not going to name who, and I says, what is the story on this? And what he said to me now was that since Joe McHugh became the Minister for Education, he knows from reporters and that who sit in on council meetings that the pedal came off the gas. And it seemed to, they thought that it would be sorted out once Joe became Minister for Education. And that was the last that it was mentioned, as far as I was told now, at the council meetings. On that subject, I just want to just say one wee thing about Joe McHugh. Myself and other people contacting him through the internet about, you were talking about this modern sex education thing coming into schools yesterday. It was a great, it was excellent yesterday morning on your radio show.
Monday to Friday, 9 to 12, carry on.
Excellent, I appreciate that. There were excellent speakers in that, mm. and they did it better justice than what I would do it. But I would just say one thing. Like, he needs to address this. He's the Minister for Education. And, like, she's an ex-MEP, Cathy Sinnott. I think she was an independent MEP, you know.
She's the substitute for Gemma O'Doherty.
I think she might be the substitute for Gemma. Anyway, but no matter about that. I remember her saying at a talk one time, she was talking about this kind of thing, these debates that happen over in Brussels, you know, about the way children should be raised in sex education in schools. And there was a socialist MEP who stood up and said, no, parents cannot be trusted to produce the type of children that the EU needs. Now, that to me, that sounds like real Hitler talk. You know, it's and Minister McHugh would need to get a handle on this now and, you know,
take
on board the concerns of parents.
But it's not the concern of all parents, it's a concern of yours.
Some, exactly.
So is that not why you have a consultation process to ensure that all views are represented?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't usurp that, if that's the word.
As long as they don't make it mandatory
let's throw that around the table out in fairness and then we'll move back to it, because it is a big issue. It came up yesterday and maybe you haven't formulated your opinions on it or not. Do we need to review... Rena Donaghy, do we need to review sex education in school? Are you familiar with these proposals? Are you comfortable with them? Where do you stand on that issue?
I need to familiarise myself with what's coming aboard. I know there's a white paper with the government.
Do you think it's appropriate to teach children 0 to 4 about their bodies, their bodily function, and their sexual makeup?
No, I think it's totally inappropriate. Okay. Totally inappropriate.
Well, you've been somewhat agreement there with Frankie. What about you, Councillor Cross?
I would be quite similar in that as well. Oh, sorry. I would be similar on it. I think that children should be allowed to be children up until... You know, one of the greatest things that I see is when the Christmas lights goes on in Bunkrana, they say, who are you going to get to switch on the light? There's only one person, Santa Claus. Mm. And the surprise in children's eyes when they see that... Children should be allowed to be children until a certain age. I would be totally against.
Okay, and I mean, as a parent, as a granddad as well, Terry. I mean, you know, do you think it's helpful that children are taught something in school?
Children should be taught about their bodies. But I heard the programme on yesterday, and I was hard when I heard them speaking about teaching children about masturbation and stuff like that. It's absolutely disgusting and it's uncalled for.
Just one thing, that's not in the white paper, though.
No,
that's
I know it's not.
That's in the WHO document, not in the white paper. Yeah. But, anyway.
But it was talked about on the radio, and I think it's totally uncalled for. It's innocence has been, the innocence of children has been
taken away,
absolutely.
I take it by the sentence finishing, you agree then, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm involved in childcare myself and involved with children, and I agree with the rest of the panel there that 4 years of age is too young. I agree with Terry, they need to learn the parts of their body. But
you do that, we all do that in the bath when you know,
that's
you this and you that's the same.
What they were chatting about yesterday was definitely no, they're timing up to before they go to secondary school to learn all the ins and outs of what's about. Because children, what I find nowadays, the innocence has been taken away from them. They're not allowed to be babies or children anymore now. They're nearly, it's like they start to go to play school now at 2 years of age as well. Yeah, they're sent into a kind of a formal, you know, children, we learned through play. We learned up the hills playing cowboys and Indians, like, you know, and where do you see that now? Like, children are just put into a school and made learn this, that, and all that, and it's definitely too young for at 4 years of age to learn.
And it was Frank who started that conversation. I think it's important because, you know, people obviously want to vote on when will I get this, when will I get that, but also to sort of get an idea of the sort of ideology of the makeup of the council. Right, we have to take a break. We'll be back with more shortly. In the media, there's certain issues you try and cover with balance and to make sure people are aware, but you don't want to instill fear. And what I've learned through most of my own social media, but as well through this programme, that each and every night across the county, there's crime. And these people are very mobile, they're in and out, they're stealing all manners of things, outdoor motors, home heating oil, burners, all this type of stuff. Frankie Lavelle, not Frankie Lavelle, I beg your pardon, I'll come to you, Frankie, Terry Crossan of Sinn Féin, you know, people feeling safe and secure, there's a sense that many, many people feel they don't now. I mean, is this something that's, you have a view on?
Absolutely. My area includes the Muff area, which takes me right across to Bridge End, Killay and Carrigans, which are all border areas. And a lot of people are getting very concerned about the increased amount of cross-border crime. They're also very concerned about the very low rate of detection. And I believe this is purely down to lack of Garda resources. And I feel that there should be more guards on the ground, on the border areas. Gardaí should be more accessible. You go into the Garda barracks in Muff, the individual guards are brilliant, if you can get them there. Most times you've got to go to Buncrana. If there's a crime happened, it could be 2 or 3 hours. A neighbour of mine got robbed. It was a cat burglary. Some people were very opportunistic, saw an open window, climbed in, stole approximately $3,000, which was a lot to the person. The guard's response time was very, very slow.
What's your closest 24-hour manned guard station?
Would be Buncrana.
And how far away is that?
Buncrana would be 50 miles away from...
50 miles away. So you could be lucky that there could be a squad car on patrol, but in terms of reaction times guaranteed from a 24-hour station, 50... And I presume then, within the local community, that gives a sense of fear and abandonment. Absolutely. Am I going too far with that?
Yeah, no. Also in the Calais area, there's a serious case in one of the housing estates of very bad antisocial behaviour. Now, I'm in the process and have brought it to the attention of the guards in that. Although I'm not a councillor, I was lobbied heavily by the people in that area. I have brought it to their attention. I spoke to a guard yesterday about it. Obviously, in the run-up to an election, I postponed it until after next week it's something that I am taking on board very strongly and I'm going to pursue. I think that people in border areas need greater protection.
So you'd be looking to get on the JPC then, presumably?
Absolutely,
if elected, okay. Frankie, is that coming up for you? People's sense of security or insecurity?
That's an interesting question, and I'll tell you, I didn't even think much about it until I started canvassing and going round the houses. And I have to agree there with Terry. The amount of houses over around, say, those border areas, Muff, Calais, different like that, with signs up, you know, beware of dog, or CCTV cameras in operation. And there was one day myself and my wife were out canvassing, and I was saying, gosh, and the penny dropped. It's this border crime, you know, that must be affecting people, you know. But... That's basically my thoughts, and probably maybe more Gardaí or a bit of community kind of watch effort might help on it, you know.
Rena's on here. What do you think, Councillor?
I find that people more and more are keeping their doors locked during the day
The back and front doors being open, those days are gone, regrettably, aren't they?
They absolutely are. I found this on the canvas now that the doors were locked, and the border areas are definitely very, very vulnerable. But the good news is, in the last 3 to 4 weeks, it's just great. I can't believe it. In Buncrana, we see two guards walking up the street on the beat.
What's
we
good,
haven't
that's
seen
a muff,
that.
Though.
No, I know,
that's
but
not
at
good
least,
to muff
at least,
isn't?
If there's a presence, it's very, very helpful. But no, we absolutely need more Gardaí. And there for 10 years, the Gardaí that retired and were sick and that were off were not replaced. And we were down all those numbers. We need a lot more Gardaí presence.
Okay. What do you think on this one, Michelle McKenna?
Yeah, I was same as Frankie when I was over, and I was over in the Clay Carrigans area yesterday and the day before, and even the Bridgend area. And but in Clay and Carrigans especially, there was a lot of houses was beware the dog, beware the dog, beware the dog, and CCTV. So I actually asked one of the ladies that answered the door, why was it? And she explained about the lot of crime and different things. I'm not even sure does the police or the Garda station in Carrigans be opened all day or all night. I'm not sure. I think what's happening is what they said was
24 hours.
Yeah, well, these people that are doing the burglaries, are they know when the guards are out of the village. Mm. They know when they're gone away in their car and patrol, so they're watching and they're cute about it, like, you know. So yeah, something's going to have to be done with
Councillor Nicholas Crossan. You know, I don't know, again, from my history of going to council meetings, I know these issues come up, but I don't see how many motions. It's not a monthly thing, for example.
Well, I'm actually on the Joint Policing Committee.
Yeah.
And on a regular basis, this has come up. We're being told that the crime rate in Inishowen is low in comparison with the rest of the country.
But you know, people aren't reporting crime.
I said to the various Gardaí I've talked to, I totally disagree with this figure, because I'm saying that people are phoning in Garda stations and say, yeah, will you come in? Will you go to court? Will you identify this person? And people don't want that, because they're living, elderly people are living in fear. Mm. They're grateful for the long evenings now, actually. Mm. They're looking for lights outside their doors just to show that they can have that there's a notice of somebody in the house. And I'd agree 100%. We need more Garda on the beat. In my time as a bread man, we had a Garda station in Bournefoot, Muff, Moville, Carndonagh, Kildaff, Clonmany and Newton Cunningham. That's the areas that I got. Full-time Garda station, all closed with the exception of Buncrana on a 24-hour basis. Mm. That is not totally unacceptable. We're living in a border area, and I do believe that we certainly need more guards to protect the elderly people living on their own.
The last time I voted for Councillor Nicholas Crossan was because he was anti-gaming machines. But I feel let down as he recently voted in favour of them. Now, I have to be fair to the candidates that sat around this table in Inishowen previously, and I'm going to get all your views on this. We can keep it brief if you want. We've heard the arguments about, you know, this is about legislating it, making it safe and blah, blah, blah. I'm not running them down. But I'll start with you as someone who this caller claims has made a U-turn. Why did you vote in favour of gaming machines when the public will, and you know it, the public will is against these machines?
Totally disagree with you, Greg.
Well,
I'm getting it on the door. On four occasions.
You get four occasions, people are saying to you, well done, it's great to have more gaming machines in the show.
No. There's people saying to me, why did you vote to regulate the gaming? I made an informed decision. Mm. Like any other decision in Donegal County Council, should it be the budget, should it be development plan, planning, roads, whatever.
What changed your mind then?
I didn't change my mind.
Okay, you've never been on the record saying you were anti-gaming machines?
Never. We had never, ever taken a vote in Buncrana or in 25 years.
Okay.
It was mentioned for about 6 months within 25 years. It has never been mentioned in Buncrana Town Council or Donegal County Council.
You stand over your decision and you believe it's a good decision for the people of Buncrana and Inishowen?
Yes, I made an informed decision on it.
And you believe it's a good decision?
Yes.
Okay. Terry Cross and Sinn Féin, your party in both Letterkenny and Inishowen, voted against these regulations or liberalisation, as some would see it. I mean, presume you share the views of your fellow councillors, do you?
I absolutely do. But more than that, as a member of the community and as a friend of one of the gaming operators, he lobbied me very heavily as an individual to lobby my colleagues to try and influence them.
Did you?
I mentioned it to them, what he had been saying to me. It was entirely up to them. Mm. He was saying about employment, it could influence the employee, blah, blah, blah. I mentioned it to them. It did not deter from their ultimate decision.
If you had had a vote and there was not a party, would you have voted in favour of the regulations?
I don't think I would.
With what you've heard from your friend?
No, because on the doors also, I've been getting a lot of people who were not happy about the lack of public consultation.
Mm-hmm. People will vote on this. I mean, make no mistake, people will be voting on how councillors voted.
If I am elected, I will hopefully try to reopen this debate.
Well, that's an interesting comment. What about you, Michelle McKenna? And then we'll go round the table to Yeah, Terry, and then
I've come up very often on the doors as well, especially in the Buncrana area.
Would you vote for or against? I think most of your party colleagues voted for this.
They voted for it, yeah. But what I'm finding is that they didn't have a public consultation with their grassroots or their people.
Yeah, that's not acceptable. We elect people into the council to make decisions that are informed decisions that that reflect the view of the people that elected them.
So if I was a councillor and I had a vote, I would have been talking to the people I represent, and regardless of what I think myself, I have to go with the majority of the people want. And the majority of the people want in Buncrana, they didn't want the gaming. And I would have to go with that.
Okay.
Because you're representing the people. You have to go, no matter what my personal opinion is on anything. I mean, the legislation, okay, that's all great. They have to be legislated. But the people don't want them.
Okay, what do you think, independent Frankie Lavelle?
Greg, it only came up on two doorsteps. Actually, one of them wasn't even a doorstep. I was just chatting to someone when I was filling diesel onto the lorry. And this thing about the gaming machines only came up with two people. I didn't really think it, I'll be quite honest, I didn't think it was an issue until I was listening to these debates the last few days or weeks. But I know a person, I actually know a couple of people who work in that industry or in those businesses, and I asked this guy's opinion anyway, and he says, listen, if someone's addicted to gambling, all that person, a family member, just come to us and say, our Johnny or our is addicted to gambling. And he says, Johnny gets barred straight away. You know, so that's what he told me. Or if they see a problem developing or something, but that's about as much as
I would say. It'd be quite complicated I was your brother, for me to go to a business presences and say, "Will you ban him?" Yeah, I mean, whoever came up with that is not living in the real world.
Getting the right gist of it,
but I get what you're saying.
It wasn't one of my main things.
I understand. Terry Cross, and then we'll bring Rena back in on this.
If I could just say that the operator who lobbied me heavily, right, he is now very publicly offering a great deal of logistic support to one of the candidates, you know, and I'm not going to name anybody's name here, but it seems as if it's in reward for how he helped them to gain the vote. You know,
know the motivation this was thrown out at the last meeting, and it's no secret, but people aren't saying it. But at the end of the day, I don't see how the one person would have the influence and would be rewarded in such a way. There could be another connection there, I would suggest, in fairness. Rena Donahue.
Yeah, I voted no on the panel.
I didn't come to you on this, did
no.
I? Oh, sorry,
no.
Rena.
Because
you were in a difficult position because your party was. I'm not saying there was a whip system, but you had to step outside what your party's sort of wishes were, to speak.
Yeah, that's right. My party was totally against it. And we were
so
asked.
For it?
Against bringing in the.
Okay, yes, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So I voted no in the past, and I will be retaining that position.
Sorry, correct you. You never took a vote in gaming in 25 years.
This was an internal meeting that they had, I believe, she's referencing.
Well, I believe this vote will be a vote that we will live to regret, Greg. It adds nothing to gaming machines adds nothing to our community or to our society and our towns. Employment is a misnomer. The people were looking for more rather than less.
Those regulation, jobs were still, so regulation.
This is not
so
about regulation.
But I'm putting the question to you to give you the opportunity to explain. Okay. Regulation so that we can regulate opening hours, so that we can regulate the age of people in there, so we can regulate payouts.
This is not about regulation. This is about legalising gaming machines and adopting the 1956 Act, which we had rescinded. And we had voted for this back now in 1984. The council banned it in Buncrana. And the council was taken through every court in the land for a full 10 years by the arcade owners until the council was officially vindicated in the end. It adds nothing to our community or our society. The pressure it puts on families. I believe slot machines are a scourge and a social evil. The only people who benefit from gaming are the arcade owners.
Well, what I can understand is the difference in opinions here, that you can have people that have sat in the same council for 10 or 15 years and be so opposed in their interpretations and their point of view. But that's
Greg,
where we're at.
One really important point that I want to make is that the electorate did not have a chance to put in submissions. Over the we had a month. The submissions that came in, 90% of the submissions were duplicates, and they were from the gaming arcade owners. I think 8 people from the general public put in submissions. The other side of the argument was not given.
Okay, I mean, you know what? I presume, with all due respect to you, Councillor Donaghy, that you could have extended an invite to people who work in addiction services to present to Bunkrana Council the exact same way as the gaming industry did. So maybe someone dropped the ball who was already elected.
No, well, White Oaks did come in. They did write and they made a submission.
But they could have been invited in to speak to council.
But there wasn't time. There wasn't time for anything. It came up 1 month. It was proposed 1 month. They were given another month. And then it was
adopted. Anyone want a final word on this?
Just we did ask the day we took the vote on 12th of March to defer the issue.
Yeah.
And that was voted down.
By whom?
There was no proposal in front of us to defer.
There was a proposal in second.
I'm conscious that the rest are candidates, but everyone's had their point of view and are on the record on that important issue. Quickly ask around, where do you want your number two? You want number ones, Frankie. Where do you want your number twos to go?
I also want the number two as well.
Now, you're going to get your two to three, I suppose. But where would you like your number two to go?
Do you know what?
Focus on the ones and the next one.
No, but I'll tell you, my main thing, if anyone has seen my leaflet or you can look me up on Facebook there, my main thing is pro-life, pro-family, things like that there. And I just heard on your news today, 25% of people, of medical staff are depressed. That's going to increase when medical staff are forced to
yeah, we are our rate things. Of our rate of absence from the HSE in the Northwest through sick and mental health issues is way above that. Way above that. I think it's almost double that. Right, listen, that's where we have to leave it. Thank you very much indeed. I know it's not easy to get through everything, but I wish you all the very, very best of luck. It's just 2 days to go. Terry Cross and Michelle McKenna, Frankie Lavelle, Nicholas Cross and Rena Donaghy, all of you, thank you. We're gonna-